Lakehurst, president of Missouri Farm Bureau.
Very good. And you guys just concluded your annual meeting. You were reelected. Lots of issues were discussed. What came to the top out of the meeting, Blake?
Well, I think probably the biggest issue, even though it seems like it's too early, was we set down a set of principles for the next farm bill. And even though it just seems like the last one was finally passed, we'll actually be having, they'll be having hearings next spring about the farm bill, and we want to be ready. So that was probably the biggest news. Missouri Farm Bureau members supported considering cottonseed as an oil seed, and emphasized the fact that the most important part of the farm bill to our members is crop insurance.
Yes. So, new administration, any concerns about the farm bill moving forward? A lot is unknown at this point.
Yeah, I think it's a little early. Obviously, our members are excited about the chance to roll back some of the regulation, like WOTUS, Waters of the U.S., that have been a concern for our members. So we're excited about that. Pretty early to know how the farm bill will be, how the new administration will relate to farm policy. But I will tell you that it's been a pretty long tradition that farm policy is written in Congress, and I think that's still where the action will be.
All right. Farmers' right to repair.
Yeah, we voted. We voted a resolution in favor of farmers' right to repair, and what that means is just that farmers need access to software, to diagnostics, to repair their machinery. A lot of the we know that we own the fuel pump when we buy a tractor. It's not totally clear who owns the software that goes into that tractor that tells the fuel pump what to do. And so hopefully we'll get a little bit of, we'd like to do this voluntarily with the companies. And there's a big difference between different companies on how they treat their proprietary software and manuals. And we'd like to work out hopefully a voluntary agreement that gives farmer access to some of those materials.
All right. What about rural broadband?
Well, we actually had both state policy and or state resolutions having to do with state policy and resolutions having to do with federal policy that just talked about how important broadband access is to rural Missouri and reemphasized the fact that much of rural Missouri does not have good broadband access. So whether it be with rural development or better cooperation between the providers in rural areas or perhaps some opportunities for the REAs and the local electric co-ops to get involved in broadband, all these things will help.
What about health care affordability and access? And we've heard lots of premiums going up for those who are in the Affordable Care Act coverage.
Yeah, most rural counties in Missouri now have only one provider. You know, basically the west half of the state has one provider, the east half of the state has one provider, and very few rural counties have any competition at all. And we're seeing large premium increases. In the past 8 years, one of my friends that's a farmer in Northeast Missouri has seen their family, and their young family, seen their family's premium go from $8,000 a year to $22,000 a year. And that's just, it's just not something that we can survive. And obviously lots of talk about reform. And I just hope as we work through some kind of reform of the present healthcare system that people think about rural Missouri and think about the lack of access both to insurance and to healthcare in many instances that we're facing. So it's something that's very, very important to our members.
Blake, we have been actually trying to get some farmers to talk about this. And do you think your friend would be willing to go on the record? And I can take this part out of the interview, but...
Yeah. I mean, Chris Jens, who we're talking to, you know,
oh,
let
Chris.
Us and let us get. Yeah, so I'm sure Chris would be glad.
Oh, I'm sure she
would. Let us. It was. We had breakout sessions on Saturday, and that was one of the things that the folks talked about. And we haven't compiled all those notes,
okay.
But let me. I have a feeling we're going to have more than a few people who we're talking about it, and
sure.
We'll try to get. I'm going to be talking about it here in the next few weeks, and we'll try to get some folks that you can talk to as well.
Well, okay, it'd be great if I could get somebody next week, because Tom's going to be putting together our end-of-year program, and if I could get that a portion, just one interview, and then just kind of give a flavor to have that included.
Yeah, I don't think,
I'll just try to call Chris.
Yeah, I would guess that she would be willing to talk about it. And, I mean, yeah, obviously, why wouldn't she?
Right, exactly.
It's a big deal. And so, yeah, just give Chris a call.
I'll do it.
Because, as you know, she'll do a great job talking about it.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay, so other things that were priorities, repealing onerous executive orders. Talk about those.
Well, obviously, some of that would be the clean air plan that the Obama administration, we've got orders, we've also got rules. I mean, the WOTUS is a rule. And so it'll be a little more difficult to move forward with reforming that. But the Obama administration, especially in the last couple of years, have done some executive orders that we find pretty difficult for farmers to swallow. And I guess the biggest one of those would be just the various things having to do with moving away from coal-fired electricity. That's going to cost Missouri consumers. Well, we're looking at a doubling of electricity rates over the next decade, and that's something that would be a real burden for Missouri consumers.
All right, sir. Veterinary Feed Directive goes into effect in January.
Yeah, and we passed a resolution calling on President-elect Trump, once he has the ability to do so, to withdraw that Veterinary Feed Directive, realizing that it does go into effect before he's inaugurated. We also have some resolutions asking for a little bit more flexibility if it is in effect. We have a lot of farmers with small herds that have been doing their, have been obviously taking care of some of the medication on their own. We also have farmers who don't have easy access to a large animal veterinarian. And that's been kind of a focus of our policy over several years. We actually even on our foundation has some scholarships to veterinary students who are interested in being large animal vets. So in certain parts of the state, it's going to be a real access problem. So we've got not only kind of an onerous regulation, but also just access to the professionals in order to follow the regulation.
Okay, and I think Tom did a separate story with you about this. Okay, state transportation funding and port development.
Well, we're obviously have been on record for a while as supporting increasing funding transportation. I don't know. We'll see when the session starts in January how big an issue that will be for here in the state. Clearly, President-elect Trump is talking about infrastructure dollars as well. Our farm-to-market roads are in a terrible shape. They need help. We need more funding, whether it's federal or state funding. Obviously, it doesn't matter, but we do need to make some improvements. Ports are the same way. I mean, we're looking at a lock and dam system. We've just passed a Water Resources Development Act, which will hopefully improve that. But we're looking at lock and dams that haven't been improved since the 1930s. Barge tows are much bigger now than they were then. It's a real choke point in exports of grain, and so we would like to see those ports improved.
And yet again, that WERDA bill unfunded at this point. So
that's true, but we still have hopes.
Okay. Eminent domain and clean line.
Yeah, well, clean line is kind of a different situation than we've seen in the past, and other states have actually, before any kind of transmission line goes through, other states require that they in some states it's actually Department of Agriculture, but just have somebody look at the plan and say, look, did you do the best you can do to work with farmers on where this line goes through their land? In other words, can you move it next to a road so it's not in the middle of your field, you know, and that sort of thing. And one of the ideas that I'm kind of kicking around, which I think isn't in our resolutions, but I think is important, is that some states have toyed with the idea of requiring voluntary agreements from a certain percentage of landowners before eminent domain is granted. So we oppose and continue to oppose and think we're going to be successful eminent domain for clean line, but we also need, when it does come into play, we need more protections for landowners.
And I need a little bit more background from you about clean line.
Okay, clean line is the line across, it's Grain Belt Transmission Line. It'll sort of roughly follow Highway 36 across Missouri, so it hits all the way across the state, and it takes wind power from the western states to eastern electricity markets. Really doesn't supply much to Missouri at all. and it's a privately owned venture capital firm, and basically they're asking to be treated as a utility. But what they are is just a company trying to make a buck, and which we're all for. We appreciate entrepreneurship in all its forms, but we're not sure why they should have the ability to take farmers' land. In fact, we're sure they shouldn't.
Right. Okay. Now I recall we've done stories. It's just been a while.
Yeah.
So that sort of dovetails into wind energy.
Yeah, we have actually passed a resolution. One of the things that I think farmers are concerned about is when your neighbor puts, you know, leases his ground or grants the permission to put up a windmill, it can put requirements on the neighbor who doesn't have a lease, isn't getting any income. Basically saying he can't build within so many feet. If the windmill is located on the property line, he can't build within so many feet of the windmill. We don't think that's fair, and so we'd like to make sure that there's some setbacks so that neighbors who have chosen, have not had a chance to have a windmill, or have chosen not to, have some protection.
Okay. So dicamba, that was an issue that came up this year, and as you know, there has been a lawsuit filed against the maker of the Extend product. So, what is the position of Farm Bureau on this multifaceted issue?
Well, clearly there will be legislation there. Well, I don't know if Representative Roan has some legislation that I'm sure he'll be filing quickly if he hasn't already. Would increase the penalties for off-label or, you know, legal, actually, application of herbicides. Clearly, we have to stop that. Farmers ought not ignore the label and should be punished when they do. So this is a case of some people breaking the law, and they should pay the price. Now, we also have language talking about not only low-volatile dicamba formulations, but new chemicals at all. Of any chemistry that we would like to make sure that we continue to have access to those, because although sometimes you wouldn't know it, weeds have been evolving since, since Adam bit that apple, and we need new chemistries to handle weed control. So we'll continue to hope that science will be allowed to work in order to protect farmers' crops in Missouri.
Does the maker of that seed who did not release a companion herbicide with it have any responsibility in this?
I think that is a question I suppose the courts will decide. I do think that farmers were aware that they could not use the existing chemicals, the chemicals that had approval. As of this year's crop season, they were aware that what they were doing was wrong. So I don't know that we can hardly hold you responsible for somebody else breaking the law. So I guess that's kind of my feeling on that. But we will see how it turns out.
Okay. And you have, I suppose, a resolution on this, DNR and Department of Conservation prohibiting them from buying land without legislative approval.
Yeah, we would like to see a little bit more consultation with local residents, with taxpayers, with everybody, and particularly the legislature, before they enter in agreements to take land out of agricultural production. Because it's, you know, one of the things I think that people don't remember is that when that farm is being used to grow agricultural products, that there's people employed, there's economic activity. When it moves out of production, then there's a loss to the neighbors. And so we have some concerns with that. So we'd like to have a chance to visit about it before the state agencies buy land.
All right. And then you kind of addressed this, but limiting government regulations, is that for both federal and state level?
Oh, sure. That's just something that's been an issue, I think, with farmers for a very, very long time. We are responsible stewards of the land and feel like that voluntary programs are the best, incentives are the best way to improve that stewardship, and hope that government at all levels will move in that direction.
Missouri's Agri-Ready Counties is something that I think is trying to address that. Do you think that's been helpful or will be?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I think so. I think it's been a way of thinking counties that take agriculture into consideration before they pass local rules, and we appreciate that. And I think it's been a good way of recognizing people who work with farmers.
So we'll have a new governor coming in. Have you had any meetings with him yet? And what is your hope for moving forward with a new administration?
Well, we're looking forward to working. We have not talked to him. Obviously talked to lots of folks that are working with the administration, working with the transition, and I think it's going well, and we look forward to working with Governor Greitens in the coming years.
And you did endorse for the first time a Democrat, his opponent. So is it important to establish a positive relationship with Greitens?
Oh, sure, and we'll work toward that end. I think that everybody can understand the support that his opponent has given agriculture and reasons why we did the endorsement, but we also have a pretty long history of working with conservative Missouri leaders, and I think we'll continue that history.
I don't think I've asked you lately about the dairy situation in Missouri. The concern that your organization has for them and for making sure that Dairy Revitalization Act is funded. Did you have any discussion or policy on that?
Yeah, we obviously support full funding for that. And I should have probably mentioned in talking about the Farm Bill, we think that there are two, I mentioned changes in the cotton program, but clearly the dairy is the other part of the Farm Bill where the present Farm Bill is just not working. And so we'll be supportive of changes to improve the safety net for dairy producers because it is a real concern. One of our members spoke rather passionately on the floor about the decline in numbers in dairy producers, and it's a problem. It's a longstanding problem, but this latest the Farm Bill that we're operating under did not try some new things with dairy, and they haven't been totally successful, so I think some improvements are going to need to be made.